You're listening to Radio Zine. I'm your host, Allison Kirby. Today on Radio Zine, we'll be hearing from Cage Leitner about his personal experiences as a transgendered man. We'll also hear about some of his activism roles here in Portland. Stay tuned. Cage Leitner, thanks for being on Radio Zine. Let's start with some clarification. What is transgender?
Transgender is a term that typically describes someone who was born in one biological body, let's say a female biological body, and has decided at some point in the course of their life to transition into the opposite gender of what they are perceived to be. So that would be someone who's born female, most likely perceived female, and decides to transition into being perceived as male and goes through physical changes to make that happen.
Great. There are a lot of other words out there that people hear, you know, floating around, like transsexual, genderqueer, mm-hmm. transvestite. Can mm-hmm. you give a little bit of light on the differences between those words?
A few of those words are more generational words. Like transvestite is a word that was typically used 40, 50 years ago that was more to talk about people who were just dressing in opposite gendered clothing, and it was more of a derogatory term than an actual technical term. Transsexual is a term that's still used, but also again of a different generation. So it's transsexual is more referring to someone who actually goes through gender reassignment surgery, but it doesn't necessarily have to mean that. So you'll hear people who are of a generation, you know, in their 40s and 50s now, saying that they're transsexual, and someone can of a younger age would say that they're transgender, and they're both actually talking about the same thing, but it's a generational difference. Genderqueer is someone who is just identifying in any part of the spectrum of gender, and not necessarily identifying with male or female.
All right. If you don't mind, I'd like to ask you some personal questions.
Sure.
What was it like growing up as a girl? You know, perceived as a girl.
Yeah.
And what are some of your earliest memories related to transitioning to realizing you're not like everybody else?
Well, I definitely wasn't a typical girl. I was perceived as a girl, but would be perceived as a boy a lot as well. I was very athletic. I kind of hid in the athleticism, and that kind of made it okay for me to not be a typical girl because, oh, she's just an athlete. And that's why she's, you know, a little bit more aggressive or a little bit more of a tomboy or, you know, all those stereotypical things that came out of it. It was okay because I was an athlete. And so I just kind of hid in that. And then I started realizing that something was going on and started kind of, I didn't have the words to put to it, but I started thinking about it more. My first really distinct memory was in elementary school when I was probably in third or fourth grade, and I held the door open for a teacher, and the teacher didn't know me. And she said, "Oh, what a gentleman," or something like that. And I was ecstatic. I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever heard, and it made me so happy. And then I was like, I'm happy about that. Okay, something's wrong, because I'm not supposed to be happy about the fact that I got called a gentleman. But it was the first thought that I'd had of, wow, that felt really good. Mm-hmm. And then I was scared.
Yeah, great. So how did you decide to transition? What were the circumstances with the decision?
There was a lot of circumstances with the decision. It is one of the most life altering, obviously, but an incredible change that no one can prepare you for. And so it's something that takes years and years for me of deciding and trying to figure out if it's what I really wanted to do. And the circumstances were basically that I had come to a point where I could no longer live in the gray area. There's this gray area of gender that a lot of people choose to live in and want to live in, and that's the kind of the genderqueer spectrum, and it's just this kind of in between, and it's very fluid, and people can go back and forth with female pronouns and male pronouns and different ways that they dress and different ways that they're perceived. And I tried that for a long time, even though I was typically coming across as pretty male before I started taking testosterone and before my voice changed and before my facial structure changed and things like that, I was still being seen as female. So I was definitely in the in-between, and the in-between was driving me crazy. I couldn't live in the in-between anymore. And so it finally came to a point where I decided, okay, I have to take a step and go in a direction that feels the most right to me. And I didn't know if it was for sure the right decision, but I knew it was. I had to do something. I couldn't just continue on where I was, and so it ultimately led to me deciding to take testosterone and to change my pronouns that everyone was using for me, to change my name legally. And that was 6 months ago. That was just 6 months ago that I started taking testosterone. So it's just been over those 6 months that I've seen a lot of physical changes.
Mm-hmm. So let's be more specific with those physical changes.
Okay.
What kinds of things have happened to your body?
I've gained weight. I've gained about 10 pounds. Most of it is muscle weight. The structure that I've always had has just increased in size. I've always been a pretty muscular person, but now I just have more of a male muscular build. My shoulders are bigger. My neck has gotten bigger. I started growing facial hair, but it's really hard to see because I have really blonde hair, which is kind of frustrating. But it's definitely there. My skin has changed a little bit. The feeling of it is a little bit more rough. My voice obviously has changed. It's dropped significantly, and I'm now on the phone being read as sir and things like that. Yeah, a lot of different things, a lot of little things that I don't even notice that other people will notice.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about how your family has been dealing with the transition.
My family has been fantastic. They have gone in a direction that I actually never really expected them to, and they have completely and totally accepted me for everything that I'm doing, and have even taken it to a step of trying to educate themselves and ask me a lot of questions about what's going on with me and try and really be completely accepting and completely open to what's going on. And really it's challenged their ideas of their own gender and of just common stereotypes and misperceptions across the board about anything, about class, about race, about gender. And it's been amazing to watch them do that.
So the name Cage, it's a great name, by the way. Yeah. So how did you choose that name?
That name was chosen for me, actually, by a friend of mine about 3.5 years ago. I decided that I wanted to have a more gender neutral name. My given name being Kate, it wasn't fitting me anymore. And so I just wanted to try something out. And a friend of mine suggested the name Cage, which was a combination of my first and middle initial. And I didn't like it at first at all. I didn't like the way it sounded. I pictured bars and a cage. And then she said it across a room to me one day, and I responded to it right away. And obviously knew that that was going to be my name. And then just had to pick a spelling. And it's not spelled the way most people think it is. And so I picked the spelling that looked the best, I thought, to me, and the way I liked the best. And K-A-I-G looked the most unique to me. And I knew it was going to be a unique name, so I wanted it to stay that way.
Let's talk about work. I'm sure this transitioning has a huge impact on your professional life. Mm-hmm. What has that been like?
Well, I work in an elementary school, and I run an after-school program that really emphasizes looking at people for their differences and really accepting people for differences. And they've got a lot of different ethnicities and backgrounds and classes and all sorts of things at this school. And so thankfully I'm in an environment that is already embracing of variations of the norm. And there's only a few people that I work with that know that I'm transgender, and those people have been fantastic, and there hasn't been anything that's been a problem. There's been a few people who have now discovered that I'm trans because of articles that I've written in the Portland Mercury or in Just Out. Some teachers came up to me and said, "Wow, that was a really great article. It was great to read that." But there wasn't ever any awkwardness or anything that was weird. But there has been a process that I've had to go through from being in one school to the other, where at one school about 2 years ago, I was Kate and I was female pronouns, and I switch over to this other school and now I'm Cage and male pronouns, but still working for the same nonprofit organization. So I had to change legal documents, and I had to come out to a lot of people and say, "This is what I'm doing." And it's been really great so far. I haven't had any negative backlash at all.
That's great.
Yeah.
You mentioned changing legal documents. Mm-hmm. That to me seems like a really complicated process because I know nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But just really simply, how do you change the F to an M on your driver's license?
Which is something that I actually haven't done yet. Uh-huh. Just because I haven't gotten there yet. But for me, I got a letter from my therapist that I've been seeing, which is the same thing that you have to have a letter in order to start testosterone. You have to have a letter to get your name legally changed. So it needs to go through some sort of therapist that can verify that you are indeed ready for this transition, because that's one of the big concerns, is that people will just jump into this decision without having the proper mental support and emotional support, and can really get into a situation they're not expecting and that they're not ready for. So I have a letter that's written by my therapist that is written to the DMV, and she's actually on a list of therapists that they work with, that says that, you know, Mr. Leitner has been working with me for X many months and has taken the steps to this transition and would like to transition and change the F to an M. And I just haven't yet to do it. And it hasn't been a problem, really. I've been using my ID still, but it's Portland. Right. People don't always question.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
Great. So do you ever feel like you're an anthropologist out there in the field, and you have this really amazing opportunity. I imagine you're seeing men in a completely different perspective, mm-hmm. as well as women.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah. At the current time, whenever I'm out in public and I'm looking at men versus women, when I look at men, I look at men as, is that the kind of man I want to be? Is that what I want to look like? Do I want to have that kind of haircut? Do I want to wear those kinds of clothes? Do I want to have that kind of behavior? Which is bizarre. It's a bizarre thing to kind of be studying people as almost like your own empty canvas. And when looking at women, it's changed from feeling like I'm a part of the female world to now I'm this, being seen as this, just this guy. And it really makes me think a lot about, how do I interact with those women and how am I being seen? And am I being seen as just some typical guy that, you know, would be perceived or assumed to not care about women or not care about anything to do with, you know, women's rights, women's movement. I mean, you know, just all those stereotypical things that may be assumed of men. While in my head, I still have female socialization. And that's the biggest part of it, is that I was socialized as a female. And I think about things that come from that female side of society. But I also have male characteristics and male behaviors. And so I kind of have both going on in my head, but I'm seen as one. And so it often plays out as me not knowing what to do in a certain situation around women or around men. And so it does feel like a science experiment often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're on testosterone, you're seeing a psychiatrist, mm-hmm. psychologist, I'm not sure.
A therapist. I don't even know what terminology she would use, but a therapist, yeah.
Right. And so I'm just curious, what's sort of the next step? How far down the road are you looking?
The next step would be to have top surgery, and which is to remove the breasts, and that is within the year, I hope. It's more about coming up with the funds for that. For the surgeon that I want to see, who's in Baltimore, Maryland, it's a $7,300 bill.
Plus airfare.
Yeah. So that's a good amount of money to be looking to spend, but it's also something that will, for me, really feel like I've completed my transition. I feel about 95% complete right now, but still not being able to go swimming, go hang out at the river without a shirt on is really damaging to me mentally, because it really feels like I'm not truly able to just be myself. So that's my next step, is to do that surgery. And then as far as testosterone goes, I take it once a week, and I'll continue to take it. It's undetermined. I'm not quite sure if it's for the rest of my life. I haven't been given a clear understanding of that. I know that there's a lot of people that once they are on it for a long time and that they have a hysterectomy, that they can take a lot less of it, a lot less dosage and less frequently, because the natural hormone levels balance themselves out. But I'm not entirely sure if you can ever really be off of it. And there's a lot of unknowns about hormones and taking hormones for biologically female people, because it's just not been studied as much as biologically male people taking estrogen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be back with more from Cage Leitner in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Welcome back. You're listening to Radio Zine. I'm your host, Allison Kirby. We're back with Cage Leitner to talk a little bit about his experiences as a transgendered man. Well, let's just start off talking about pronouns. I think that's something that people are really freaked out by, you know. She, he, him, her, z, it, their. Can you think of any more? There's a lot of different things, and everybody... I think most trans people have a preference, you know. Some people don't, but why does this make people so uncomfortable?
People get freaked out about it because there's this concern that they're going to make a mistake and they're going to offend someone. And I don't get offended personally. I know a lot of other people who don't get offended by it, and I'd rather have someone have a conversation with me about it than to just make an assumption or to not say anything at all and avoid the topic. It'd be better to just have a conversation about it and to just be asked, what pronoun do you prefer? And that's a question that not many people think to ask. It's not a common question. I mean, how many people really have to question what pronoun they use? It's just kind of like a part of conversation that people just use, and it's no big deal. But it should be a question that more people think about, because even someone who presents as a very stereotypical gender, you know, and seems to be, and someone could say, oh yeah, that's a woman. They totally look like a woman. You never know. They could use a pronoun that you've never heard of, or they could use a male pronoun. And it's just better to just kind of step back and maybe try and get some cues from that person, or just come right out and ask, and it might lead into a really good conversation about something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I want to know, what is genderqueery, and how did you come to create it?
Genderqueery started out as me searching for a group in Portland that was discussing the topic of gender, not a specific trans group or a specific sexuality group. I was just looking for something that was a lot more general and could just go and talk to people about gender in a topic. And there wasn't anything. There was nothing. I researched many different organizations. I sent out a lot of emails, and I couldn't find one thing that was like that. And through my searching, I got an email back from the coordinator at the Q Center, who's actually no longer there. But she sent me an email back saying, you know, we don't have anything going on like this. If you would want to start something, we'd love to help you facilitate it. So it started out in a very kind of basic and organic way. And it just started with flyering, just putting flyers out, going to different clubs and talking to people about it, getting things out in the newspaper. And then we had our first meeting and we had close to 30 people there. And it obviously was something that Portland really wanted. And it just kind of continued on from there. And it's actually going to be a year in September that the group will have been running. And it's gone through its fluctuations of attendance, but overall it's been really well attended and really taken on kind of a life of its own.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody were to go to a genderqueery meeting, what would they have to expect? And maybe tell us about some of the topics you guys have discussed in the past.
Coming to a genderqueery meeting, you can definitely expect a lot of really good intellectual conversation. With a lot of personal stories as well, with kind of mixed in. It's not a support group, so we don't get into really in-depth personal stories. We're not there to, you know, help somebody work through a problem necessarily, but it's a good space to share things that have happened. You can expect to have a conversation that hopefully, and that's been my hope from the beginning, that hopefully will involve something about gender and sometimes sexuality as well, that anyone can have an opinion about, that you don't have to be trans identified. You don't have to be even genderqueer identified. You can identify as a straight female from wherever and come in there and have something to say about how you are perceived and the things that you go through in your daily life, of the things that people expect of you. I mean, that's what gender is all about, is looking at the ways that we have already presupposed what should happen because you are seen as a certain gender.
Cage, you also started a group called Transactive. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, and I'd like to clarify that I didn't start it okay. Because the people who did would be upset with me. So Transactive came out of basically a need and a strong understanding of the fact that there are many children and many youth that obviously are aware of their gender at a young age and come to a point where they discover, much like I did, that something's not right and this doesn't feel right and I don't want to be perceived this way. But unfortunately, kids aren't taken too seriously when it comes to things like this. So Transactive's stance and goal is to kind of step in and help in facilitating the rights of transgender children. And that looks like things like going into schools and doing in-service days with staff and teachers to educate them about what this means for this child and the things that need to be taken seriously from them when they're saying, no, I don't want to wear a dress. No, I don't want to play with these toys. I'm a boy. I'm a girl. That needs to be taken into consideration and not just thrown to the side and say, oh, you're 5. You don't know what you're talking about. Or, oh, you're 9. And so Transactive does in-service education. We do advocacy work with families specifically to help families through the transition. And right now it's only three of us. It's three people that have come together from the trans community that really have a passion for this and want to help children out.
Okay, great. Well, Cage, thank you so much for talking with us today. It's been great.
You're welcome.
To find out more about Gender Query, go to www.pdxqcenter.org. To contact Transactive, send an email to transeducate@comcast.net. You've been listening to Radio Zine on 90.7 KBOO Portland. I'm Allison Kirby. Thanks for listening.